Good afternoon. Luckily, I didn't include my simulation, so I have enough time, I guess, to cover my entire talk, I guess. First of all, I would like to thank IJAZ, Peter and Mo for organizing such an interesting workshop and also for invitation. As you can see from the title, I guess this would be the second talk on mixture models after Joel's talk. My talk is on mixture of regression models, and I'm trying to do variable selection in mixture regression models when you allow the dimension of the model increases with the sample size. It's kind of high dimensional problem. I will start with an introduction, trying to explain situations where you may want to use a mixture of regression models rather than a regular regression model to analyze your data. The data that I will be analyzing in this talk is related to a recent study on Parkinson's disease. I try to elaborate on the data, so that's why I didn't include any simulation in the talk. I will address what do we mean by this feature selection or variable selection problem in a mixture of regression model, the method that we use for doing the variable selection, and some asymptotic properties of the method. As you already noticed in many talks, especially today's talk, data collection is a relatively easy job these days because just simply because technology is out there and we can collect whatever data that we want. So that's nice from one point of view, but from a different point of view, from a statistical point of view, the data has huge size and also complex data. A typical statistical problem that we deal in this kind of problem is basically a regression problem. So you have a response variable and possibly a long list of variables and trying to do to investigate the relationship between Y and X. But at the same time, you want to fit sparse model that does, for example, a good job in terms of prediction. So that's a feature selection problem. This problem was already introduced in many talks. In many applications, we simply threw in a large number of variables, possibly to decrease the modeling bias. But at the same time, the number of variables that you can include in the model, it depends on the sample size, so you can't just simply include all the variables in there. So possibly you may think of saying that, okay, the dimension of the model is a function of the sample size. So as the sample size increases, you may get more and more variables in your data. That's a very typical setting in many of the feature selection or variable selection problems that people have been talking about so far. This is another complexity that adds to some of these problems is a situation where the population, the population of interest, it has heterogeneous structure. So from the point of view of relationship between Y and X, sometimes using a universal GLM, let's say, or linear regression model, or even mixed effect model may not be a good choice for modeling the relationship between Y and X. So that's a situation where you may think of using a mixture of regression models. I think this cartoon here tries to show you an example where you have a population where it has four subpopulations. So in different parts of the population, you may use different, for example, linear regression models to study the relationship between Y and X. So you use a linear regression here with a regression parameter beta 1, then beta 2 in second population and so on and so forth. So the marginal or the conditional distribution of y given x here would be a mixture of regression models. So mixture regression models provide a very natural way of modeling this kind of heterogeneity, because it's the main challenge is you don't observe this heterogeneity in the data. So it's a missing label in the data. So that's the otherwise, if you knew that the data is coming from certain subpopulation, you just go within the subpopulation and do the modeling. So that's basically the main challenge of mixture models. And there are many examples in marketing. Marketing is a very an area that mixture models are used basically segmenting the market in different submarkets. Or in bioinformatics and many other applications. So the application that I have is on a recent study related to Parkinson's disease. So I'm sure you know these two guys, Muhammad Ali and Michael Fox. So they have a foundation that they're trying to collect money for research on Parkinson's disease. So it's a neurological disorder, and only in North America the number of people who have this disease is over 1 million, and this number is increasing because of the aging population. There is no absolute cure available for the disease, but the current medication is effective in controlling the disease. And so this means early diagnostic and monitoring is a crucial thing in Parkinson's disease studies. So that also helps improving the life quality for the patient. So the symptom of the disease are general movement disorder, so different kind of movement disorder, and also it has a direct effect on vocal impairment. Vocal impairment is a consequence of Parkinson's disease. In a classical way of monitoring the disease or tracking the symptom of the disease, what they do is the patient, they have to, on a monthly basis or weekly basis or biweekly basis, they go to a certain clinic, and then the trained clinical staff, they ask these patients to do certain physical, so they do certain physical examination on them. And then the staff use a certain scale to scale the stage of the Parkinson's disease. So based on the output of the physical examination, the staff is going to assign certain scale to that person, saying that, okay, your disease is at this stage. So the scale is usually, so the very common scale is called Unified Parkinson's Disease Rating Scale. It's a number between 0 to 100, I guess. So if it's 0, means perfect health. As it increases, as it goes to 100, means 100% disability. But this way of basically measuring the stage of the disease is costly, and also logistically is inconvenient for these patients. So, for example, they are old and they cannot go to the clinic. The alternative approach for monitoring the disease is called telemonitoring. So as you can see from the name, it's using the telecommunication devices to monitor the disease. It's so the bigger title is, telemonitoring is a subset of telemedicine. It's a new branch in medical sciences that is growing very fast, and it's also considered in Parkinson's disease research. For the Parkinson's disease, what they basically do is in telemonitoring, the patient is going to stay at home, so he or she doesn't need to come to the clinic. So he stays at home, and then the doctor or clinical staff is going to ask the patient to do certain vocal tests at home, for example, reading certain sentences, and then based on the, so that's basically the process of tele monitoring. So they have these tele monitoring devices, so the guy speaks in the microphone and the data are collected through several stages. And so that's where a statistician is needed, basically. So the in this procedure, when the patient speaks on the microphone, using the speech recognition technique, certain features of the voice of the patient is going to be measured. And then the data, so these speech features are going to be transferred to the data center. And a statistician is going to build up an optimal model that can be used. Basically, it's a regression modeling problem. So the speech properties are going to be used to predict what would be the current stage of the disease. So it's basically a regression problem, right? So they have the feature, the speech features, which are X1 up to XP. So these are going to be used by using building of a regression model, and so the goal is to predict what would be the current stage of this. So the UPDRS, basically, why it's trying to estimate the UPDRS. This is the histogram of the data that I have, and once I look at this data, because I'm working in mixture models context, so I would say a mixture model may do a better job compared to, let's say, a linear regression model or a GLM. And in this data, it actually does a better job. I mean, I compared the results with, there are a group of applied mathematicians and engineers at Oxford University that are working on this data set, and I guess I'm the first statistician that is analyzing this data using mixture models. The challenges that are in this data set is, so simply by doing some elementary statistical regression techniques, linear regression is not going to do a good job in terms of fitting the data here. The features that we have as the speech features are highly correlated, and not all of them are valuable in terms of telling you something about the UPDRS. And in general, as you get more and more data, it's possible that you also measure more features of these patients. That's basically the topic of this talk. So I'm trying to look at the feature selection problem in a finite mixture of regression model. Now I'm moving to the technical part of the talk. So that was the motivating example, basically, for this work. Let's see, what do I mean by a mixture regression model? So I move from a regular regression model to a mixture. So in a regular regression model, you have a response variable, a list of covariates, and in a GLM model that also includes the linear model, you use a density function H to look at the relationship between Y and X, and there is a known link function that is trying to tell you what is the relationship, roughly speaking, what is the relationship between Y and X. So that's for situations where you don't actually have heterogeneity in the population. If you do have heterogeneity in the population, then this is how you extend a regular regression model to a mixture of regression models. So I have a family of density functions for Y. Either Y can be continuous or count data, for example. And in a mixture of K regression model, you have, the conditional density function of Y given X is basically a convex combination of the density functions across the population. So pi's here are showing you the contribution of each subpopulation in the cartoon that I showed you. So I call it convex combination because of this property here. In this work, I also allow the size of the vector of covariate, it increases with the sample size. And I will show you, so the increasing rate is not that fast. So I mean, it's an extension of the work that we did a couple of years ago. Okay, so when we have a large number of variables, we don't actually want to include all of the variables in the model. So this means some of the regression coefficient in different parts of the population or in different segments of the model are zero. So you want to fit a sparse model to your data, sparse FMR model. And this is what I basically mean by sparse FMR model. So you have the list of, so 1 to PN is the index set of the entire set of variables that you have, and XN bracket S basically is a sub-vector of the full vector. And this model here is a sub-FMR model, meaning that different part of the model, a different subset of the X's are excluded from the model. So a feature selection method tries to select S1 up to SK in such a way that the resulted model is best balancing between the, I mean, parsimony and also goodness of fit test. Okay, so the classical way of doing variable selection in mixtures, that's at least what people in marketing applications have been doing. So they used to do that, actually. Using AIC or BIC, but you can see that even for a relatively a small size data set, this would be the number of possible. I mean, when you get a real data set, you have no idea which variable is important in which part of the population. So at least in theory, this is the number of potential models that you AIC or BIC needs to check and to find the best one from the point of view of AIC or BIC. So, and imagine if P increases, then it would be almost impossible to do the computation. In this paper with Java in 2007, we looked at the problem of variable selection in mixture of regression models, where the dimension of the model, where it was kind of classical asymptotic, so the dimension was fixed. And using a penalized likelihood approach that I'm going to show you very soon, we show that the method has, basically you get the same property that MLE has, but at the same, on top of that, you also have a sparsity property like lasso or scat estimators. This is along the work of Huber in 1973 and Fan and Peng in 2004, where dimension is allowed to increase with the sample size. So we have the. So let's see how we are going to do the variable selection for mixture regression models. So we have the data, and that's the likelihood function. So if you manage to get your MLE, it doesn't. It may not. This is not basically guaranteed. So so the MLE doesn't necessarily have the sparsity property. Okay. So in the for doing the variable selection. Basically an efficient way of doing variable selection in mixtures. We use a penalized likelihood approach. So it's the likelihood minus a penalty function. The penalty has two main components. The first component is a mixture of penalties. And the second penalty is L2 penalty, basically, the reach penalty. Let me first talk about this penalty. So if K is 1, then it won't be a mixture. So it's just a regular, let's say, lasso penalized likelihood approach. But here we try to somehow use a weighted penalty function and the amount. So the idea for, I mean, the main reason why we put pi K's here is the amount of penalty on each regression coefficient within each subpopulation is proportional to the contribution of that subpopulation. So that's If it's a non-linear, I mean, if it's a non-mixture, what people usually do, the amount of penalty is proportional to the sample size. But in our case, different, so the data is really different portion of the data is coming from different subpopulations. So we want to make sure that we don't put heavy penalty on those coefficients that are from a smaller subpopulation. So it's possible that it will kill all the regression coefficient. And so we try to use the pi case. So that's the main reason why we have pi case here. And the, I mean, working with the likelihood function of a mixture model is a hassle. So it's multi-node. I mean, it has many local maximums, and it's possible that you stuck in a local maximum somewhere. And especially if the design matrix has highly correlated columns, then it's not easy to locate the estimator. So this is basically borrowing the idea of ridge regression from Horrell and the well-known paper by Horrell and Kennard. So we basically put that penalty function there. So it helps us in terms of maximization, and also especially when you have highly correlated variables. So it helps us from computational point of view. But at the same time, because we have two types of penalty, one is trying to take care of the correlation, one is trying to do the variable selection, we try to make sure that asymptotically this guy, basically the contribution of this guy compared to the penalty on the variable selection is